I'm turning this evening to the book of Judges. The book of Judges and chapter 14. Book of Judges and chapter 14. And Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. And my topic this evening is Samson. Samson, that man of the Lord. And Samson is somebody who these days, you might read, has a somewhat bad press, a negative connotation. And people criticize him. People say he was lustful. People say he was angry. He was doing as he pleased. And was a man who was quite out of control. And you can read this in many modern day study Bibles. But Samson, we must remember, was a man of God. Samson is listed in Hebrews chapter 11 as a man of faith. And so therefore we can interpret all that happens in the book of Judges in the light that Samson was a believer in God. Samson was somebody who trusted God. Samson is somebody that we will one day meet if we go to heaven. And so Samson is someone to be admired in many ways, although it's fair to say Samson, at the end of his life, did fall, and did fall into sin and created problems for himself and for the enemies of God. And so there are lessons for us from the life of Samson. There are lessons from the first part of his life, and there are lessons from his fall, and they will be our concern this evening. And Samson's life is indeed put into two parts for us in the book, because at the end of chapter 15 we have the customary way that the judges are signed off when their reign is over. At the bottom of chapter 15 and verse 20, and he judged Israel in the days of the Philistines 20 years, and that's how the judges were signed off. And it could be, it should have been, it would have been good if that was the end of Samson's dialogue, if that was the end of the narrative. And yet we have an appendage here in chapter 16, which is his fall. And you'll see at the end of chapter 16, we have this repeat, and he judged Israel 20 years. And that is the end of his reign. So really we have two parts to Samson's life, a part when he was obedient, a part when he was spirit-filled, and a part when he fell. And the reasons for his fall will be a good lesson for us this evening, because we must take heed lest we fall after the same pattern of unbelief. Well, he was a man of faith, and in verse chapter 13 of the book we have the announcement of his birth. And we remember that Samson was a type of Christ. Samson was somebody who would resemble Christ, because he would deliver the people, the children of Israel, from the hand of the Philistines. And where they had been in bondage to the Philistines, we read at the beginning of chapter 13, for 40 years. So the Israelites have been in the bondage of the Philistines for 40 years, and Samson will be raised up to deliver them. And he is promised by the angel of the Lord, and that's in verse 3 of chapter 13. The Lord appeared, an angel of the Lord, or the Lord himself, what we might call a theophany, an appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ, pre-incarnation. The angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman, and said unto her, behold now, thou art barren, and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive, and bear a son. This has echoes, doesn't it, of the promise made to Mary about the birth of the Lord Jesus. And she's given some things that she mustn't do while she waits for the deliverance. And we have questions. They have questions for the angel of the Lord. Manoah, particularly, in verse 12, has questions for the angel of the Lord. Now let thy words come to pass, said Manoah. How shall we order the child, and how shall we do unto him? And this angel says, I've already explained to the lady what must not happen. She must drink no strong drink, neither eat any unclean thing. Verse 15, Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, I pray thee, let us detain thee until we shall have made ready a kid for thee. And the angel of the Lord said to Manoah in verse 16, Though thou detain me, I will not eat of thy bread, and if thou wilt offer a burnt offering, thou must offer it unto the Lord. For Manoah knew not that he was an angel of the Lord. And we won't go into the detail there, but Manoah and his wife understand that this was the visit from the Lord, and that they would be promised a son, and that they must follow the rules that they'd been given to follow. But they know it's God, because in verse 22, Manoah said to his wife, "We shall surely die because we have seen God." They knew this was a visit from the Almighty. Now, Samson then is born. And Samson, this is when the criticism of Samson starts. Samson is said to be petulant and going after his own lusts. Well, he went down to Timnath. Samson was now fully grown. He went down to Timnath at the beginning of chapter 14, and he saw a woman of Timnath, of the daughters of the Philistines. Now, he shouldn't be getting a wife from the daughters of the Philistines. That was clear enough. But this was of the Lord. And we know that this was of the Lord, because we're told this was of the Lord. And this was Samson's plan, and this was the plan of the Lord, for Samson to deliver the Israelites from the Philistines. This was how he would do it. Because in verse 4, his father and mother knew not that it was of the Lord that he sought an occasion against the Philistines. And what he's thinking here is this. If I do something that provokes them, and they're the aggressor, I will have reason to be aggressive to them. I'm not going to be an aggressor unprovoked. But if they provoke, I will then have a reason, a just cause, to go and deal with them. And that was his plan. And so he deliberately takes a wife of the Philistines, not because he was lustful, not because he wanted something that he couldn't have. Well, no, because even though his father and mother, they try to persuade him in verse 3 there, "Is there not one of us that you can have?" And Samson says, "No, get her." And his father and mother didn't know that this was of the Lord. Well, Samson went down. We know the story with his father and mother. He kills a young lion. And when he goes back to see the lion, he sees honey in the midst of the carcass. And so he creates this riddle. And we have this riddle that we read together in chapter 14. And he makes a bet, basically, to the 30 Philistines that were there. He says, "If you can solve the riddle, I will give you 30 sheets of linen, and if you don't solve the riddle, you have to give that to me." And he puts forth to them the riddle in verse 14 of chapter 14. "Out of the eater came forth meat, out of the strong came forth sweetness," which you can still see on a jar of golden syrup if you buy it from a supermarket even today. Well, he couldn't do it. They couldn't declare the riddle. They couldn't understand it. And so Samson's wife wept before him and accuses him of hating her because he hasn't told her the riddle. And Samson eventually tells the riddle. She wept before him so much. On the seventh day, he told her because she lay sore upon him. Well, then she goes and tells them. She goes and tells the Philistines. They tell him the riddle. They win the bet, as it were. And Samson says, "Only because you ploughed with my heifer, only because you went with my wife, you saw my wife, she told you, and you found out the riddle." So Samson, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. You see, this isn't Samson acting lustfully or impetulantly. This is Samson acting with the Spirit of the Lord upon him. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him. And he went down to Ascalon and slew 30 men of them, took their spoil, and gave the change of garments unto them which expounded the riddle. But his anger was kindled. He was a righteous man. His anger was kindled. He was jealous for Israel. And he went up to his father's house. But Samson's wife was given to his companion, whom he had used as his friend. So Samson is angry. He disappears. He disappears. Now, verse 15, this is the plan, this was Samson's plan. "But it came to pass, within a while after, in the time of wheat harvest, that Samson visited his wife, with a kid, and he said, I will go into my wife, into the chamber. But her father would not suffer him to go in. And her father said, I verily thought that thou hast utterly hated her. Samson, he says to Samson, you went away, and I thought you didn't care for her anymore, and so therefore I gave her to your companion. Is not her younger sister fairer than she? Take her, I pray thee, instead of her. Now this was against the rules, and Samson now had a charge. So verse 3, Samson said concerning them, Now shall I be more blameless than the Philistines, though I do them a displeasure. I will be blameless. I'm the offended party here. And so therefore, whatever I do, I will be blameless. I am allowed to take vengeance. And this is the way the Lord will deliver the Philistines into the hand of the Israelites. So Samson, what he did, he caught some foxes, or some people think jackals. They were easier to catch, apparently. But he took fire, and he tied them animals tail to tail, and he put fire between the two tails. And when he let them go, they ran into the fields, and they destroyed, both they burnt up both the shocks, verse 5, and also the standing corn with the vineyards and olives. And when the Philistines saw this, they said, Who has done this? Verse 6, and they answered, Samson, the son-in-law of the Timnite, because he had taken his wife and given her to his companion. And the Philistines came up and burnt her and her father with fire. And Samson said unto them, Though ye have done this, yet will I be avenged of you, and after that I will cease. This isn't Samson out of control. Samson says, Once I've avenged this, I will finish. I will decease. I will desist. And so, verse 8, he smote them hip and thigh with a great slaughter. And he was finished. He went down and dwelt in the top of the rock Etam. He went back, he finished. He went and dwelt in the top of a rock. This is Samson with the Spirit of the Lord upon him. Verse 9 of chapter 15. Then the Philistines went up and pitched in Judah and spread themselves in Lehi. And the men of Judah, Samson's own people come to him and said, verse 10, Why are ye come up against us? And they answered, To bind Samson we are come up to do to him as he hath done to us. So the men of Judah say to the Philistines, What do you want? And they say, We want Samson to do to him as he has done to us. Then verse 11, 3,000 men of Judah went to the top of the rock Etam and said to Samson, Knowest thou not that the Philistines are rulers over us? What is this that thou hast done to us? And he said unto them, As they did unto me, so I have done unto them. And they said unto him, We are come down to bind thee, that we may deliver thee into the hand of the Philistines. This is his own people. The Israelites have come to Samson and they said, We've come to bind you to take you back to the Philistines. Amazing. What is even more amazing is Samson's response. Samson said unto them, at the end of verse 12, Swear unto me that you will not fall upon me yourselves. Don't kill me. Promise me that you won't kill me. And they said unto him, verse 13, No, but we will bind you and deliver you into their hand. But surely we will not kill thee. So they bound him with two new cords and brought him up from the rock. So Samson is willing to be carried into the midst of the enemy, bound hand and foot. Why is that? Because Samson's a man of great faith. Samson's believing. Samson's trusting. He said, As long as you don't kill me, you can take me, because I know the Lord is on my side. I know that he will deliver me. And so verse 14 of chapter 15, when he came to Lehi, the Philistines shouted against him, and again the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. And the cords that were upon his arms became as flax that was burnt with fire, and his bands loosed from off his hands. It was easy. He was so strong. The Spirit of the Lord was upon him so much, he just easily loosed himself from his predicament. Well, Samson would now humiliate the Philistines. Verse 15, he found a jawbone of an ass. What a weapon. And put forth his hand and took it, and slew 1,000 men therewith. And Samson said, With the jawbone of an ass, heaps upon heaps, with the jaw of an ass I have slain 1,000 men. And it came to pass, when he made an end of speaking, that he cast away the jawbone out of his hand and called the place Ramath Lehi. Well, this is Samson acting with the Spirit of the Lord upon him in a godly way, delivering Israel, slaughtering the enemy. And Samson was very thirsty, on verse 18, and he called upon the Lord and said, "Thou hast given this great deliverance into the hand of thy servant, and now shall I die for thirst and fall into the hand of the uncircumcised." People say Samson is petulant, is talking petulantly to God. "Oh God, you have delivered me from this, and now I'm going to die of thirst." Oh no, Samson's not talking like that. Samson is arguing with the Lord. He's petitioning the Lord. And said, "Lord, you have delivered me from such an amazing victory. You have given me deliverance from such a dire situation. Is it possible now that you would let me die of thirst?" Of course not. Of course not. And we can argue like that with the Lord. Or something difficult is ailing us. And we say, "Lord, you have delivered me on so many occasions. Will you now leave me? Will you now do the least simple thing? You've delivered me from an impossible situation. Will you now fail me with something relatively simple, such as a drink of water?" Of course not. Because you are a faithful God. You are a God of your promises. And so God clave, verse 19, "an hollow place that was in the jaw, and there came water thereout. And when he had drunk, his spirit came again, and he revived. Wherefore he called the name thereof En-Hakkor, which is in Lehi unto this day. And he judged Israel in the days of the Philistines 20 years." Now that's the end. That's the end of Solomon part 1. A man who was used with the Spirit of the Lord mightily upon him to deliver his people from the enemy. And he was raised up, and in that sense he was a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was somebody who echoed him, who prefigured him. Somebody who would come, promised of the angel. Somebody who would come to somebody barren in years to be born to deliver his people. Just like the Lord Jesus delivered his people from sin. And so Samson up to this point is not really to be criticized, and yet he is. But then the annex, part 2 of Samson's life, and we have the account of Samson and Delilah, and it's a fascinating chapter, chapter 16, and we'll race through it as fast as we can. Well, Samson went to Gaza in the verse 1 of chapter 16, and he saw there an harlot and went in unto her. And so Samson is out of bounds. Samson is down in Gaza, out of his territory. What he's doing there, we don't know. But you could say that was his first wrong thing to do, to be in Gaza. Didn't need to be there. And found himself there nevertheless. Well, maybe that's the first thing that you're doing wrong, that I'm doing wrong. Maybe this is our first challenge. Are we in places we shouldn't be? Maybe not physically, but in our minds. Maybe on the internet, in the secret place, when we think nobody else is watching, are we in the wrong place? Well, Samson was in the wrong place. He was in Gaza, and he saw there an harlot. And if we're being kind, if we're putting a positive spin on this, you could translate that, an innkeeper. Yeah, it's more likely that it's a harlot, but anyway, Samson saw there an harlot and went in unto her. And, verse 2, it was told the Gazites, saying, "Samson is come hither." And they compassed him, surrounded him, and laid wait for him all night in the gate of the city, and were quiet all the night, saying, "In the morning, when it is day, we shall kill him." Well, the commentators make much of this. Samson, in a strange place, doing something he shouldn't do, the enemy's watching. And if we're a Christian this evening, the enemy's watching us. The enemy, the legion of angels, the angels of the devil are watching us. Spiritual wickedness in high places, watching what you do, watching how you react. Does the devil know your thoughts? No. The devil doesn't know your thoughts. The devil doesn't know your thoughts because he's not omnipotent. He doesn't know everything. Only God knows your thoughts. The devil doesn't know your thoughts. But he can guess. And if the devil throws a temptation at you, he fires a dart at you, he can guess what you're thinking by your reaction. And if he throws a dart at you, and you react in such a way that he sees you've succumbed to that dart, well, he might throw another one and another one. And so we're told to resist the devil and he will flee from us. If those darts are having no effect, well, he'll try a different tactic. But the devil's watching, always watching, surrounded, people watching. And he's watching how we react and what we do and what we say. Well, Samson, verse 3, lay until midnight and arose at midnight and took the doors of the gate of the city and the two posts and went away with them, bar and all, and put them upon his shoulders and carried them up to the top of an hill that is before Hebron. Well, Samson seems to be sleepless. Maybe he's in poor conscience. Maybe you've had a time in your life where you've had something on your conscience and you can't sleep. You can't rest your eyes. Maybe you've not confessed your sin. Or maybe something's on your mind, something that you've done that you shouldn't have done. And Samson seemingly can't sleep here. And so therefore, he takes the doors and the gate of the city. The Spirit of the Lord is still upon him. He's strong. He's mighty. People think Hebron was a good 30 miles away. Some people make that to be a bit nearer with a different interpretation, but he's carrying these gates of the city a long way, and he's escaped once again from the enemy's gaze. Well, we could have written another line under that there, couldn't we? We could have said, Samson judged Israel 20 years. And maybe that would be the end of his life, maybe the end of the account. And yet we have more. Samson seemed to escape. He seemed to get himself into some trouble in a place where he shouldn't be, with an harlot where he shouldn't be. But he seems to have escaped. The Spirit of the Lord is still upon him. And yet, it gets worse for Samson. It came to pass afterward, verse 4, that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. Many think she was a Philistine. Doesn't tell us that, but maybe she was. It's more most likely that she was. And verse 5, the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and said unto her, entice him and see wherein his great strength lieth and by what means we may prevail against him, that we may bind him to afflict him. And we will give thee, every one of us, 1,100 pieces of silver. So Delilah is tasked, tell us why Samson is so strong. Find out for us why he is so strong. And how Samson deals with Delilah is indeed deceitful. Delilah goes to Samson in verse 6. She says, tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lieth, and wherewith thou mightest be bound to afflict thee. And Samson said unto her, a lie, an outright lie, verse 7, if they bind me with 7 green withs that were never dried, then shall I be weak and as another man. And so the Lord of the Philistines bring up 7 green withs which had not been dried and bound him. And there are men lying in wait, verse 9, abiding with her in the chamber. And she said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. But he just broke the withs. The Spirit of the Lord was upon him. He broke the withs as a thread of tow is broken when it toucheth the fire. It's easy as something breaks when it's burnt. So his strength was not known. No one could tell. But they go to him again. Delilah goes to him again and says, tell me why you're so strong, Samson. Behold, you have mocked me and told me lies. Now tell me, I pray thee, wherewith thou mightest be bound. And he said unto her, if thou bind me with new ropes that never were occupied, then shall I be weak and as another man. And Delilah therefore took new ropes, in verse 12, and bound him therewith, and said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And there were liars in wait abiding in the chamber. And he brake them from his arms like a thread. Like an easy thing to do, because the Spirit of the Lord was upon him. But for how much longer? Delilah said unto Samson, hitherto thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Tell me wherewith thou mightest be bound. And he said unto her, if thou weavest the 7 locks of my head with the web. Another lie, the third lie. And she fashioned it with a pin, and said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awaked out of his sleep and went away with the pin of the beam and with the web. We could have written a line here, couldn't we? Would be bad things that were unworthy. And yet verse 15, she said unto him, How canst thou say, I love thee, when thine heart is not with me? Thou hast mocked me these 3 times, and hast not told me wherein thy great strength lieth. Verse 16, It came to pass, when she pressed him daily with her words, and urged him, so that his soul was vexed unto death, that he told her all his heart. He told her the truth, and said unto her, There hath not come a razor upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my father's womb. If I be shaven, then the strength will go from me, and I shall become weak, and be like any other man. And this is the truth. This was the truth. And Delilah saw that he had told her the truth. In verse 18, she sent and called the lords of the Philistines, saying, Come at once, for he hath showed me all his heart. Then the lords of the Philistines came up to her and brought money in their hand. And she made him sleep upon her knees, and she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head. And she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And she said, The Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And this is important. This is the important verse. Samson said, I will go out as at other times before, and shake myself. I'll just go out and cast everything off me. It's so easy. I'm so strong. But he did not know. He would forget. He was unaware. He wist not that the Lord was departed from him. You see, Samson had gone to a strange place. Samson had been doing things he shouldn't do. Samson had been trapped into a marriage that he really shouldn't be trapped in. And he told lies and lies and lies. He was going further and further and further and further away, thinking that at any time he could just come back. At any time he could just snap off the cords and return, as it were, to his godly life. And yet when he tried to do it the third time, he couldn't. And it's a great warning to us, isn't it? It's a great picture for us, a great account for us to learn from, because we can be the same. We can be those who maybe go a certain way into sin, and we go back, and then maybe a certain bit further, and we go back. But maybe we can get so far into sin that we forget from where we've come. We forget we're not praying, we're not reading the word, we're not really understanding. And we think that at any time we can just stop that thing. That thing we do in secret that nobody else knows. We can just stop. And we can return back to our old life. Well, it's very difficult. And so we must be so careful. And if we're anything like Samson, anywhere down that road, we have an opportunity to stop. And to draw a line and to go back and to pray. And to rescue ourselves, as it were. Or to ask the Lord to rescue us. Ask the Lord to give us strength to overcome. And so it's a great lesson for us this evening. Samson's life, that we too can go astray. We too can fall. Just as David fell, just as Samson fell, we too could do that. And so we pray that the Lord would keep us. We'll never lose our salvation. If you're a Christian, you'll never lose your salvation. But you may cause yourself great pain. You may cause your family great pain, or who knows what the end might be. And so we have to be careful, and we have to make sure that we try and obey the Lord in everything. Well, what happened to Samson? He didn't know the Lord was departed from him, and the Philistines took him, verse 21, and put out his eyes. They gouged out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass. And he did grind in the prison house. Howbeit the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven. Then the lords of the Philistines gathered them together for to offer a great sacrifice unto Dagon their god and to rejoice. For they said, Our God hath delivered Samson our enemy into our hand. What was the saddest thing about this episode? As far as the Lord is concerned, what was the worst thing? Well, I think because they gave an enemy, they gave opportunity, Samson gave an opportunity for the enemies of God to blaspheme. They gave Samson's enemies, the chance to rejoice in their God, their false God. They said, Dagon, Dagon has delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hand. That was rubbish. That wasn't true. Dagon is no god. Dagon has no power. And yet that's what they think. He gave them an opportunity to blaspheme the name of the Lord God of Israel. David sinned with Bathsheba when David pretty much had Uriah the Hittite murdered. What was the great thing the Lord said to him? The Lord said to him, David, you have given the enemies of God an opportunity to blaspheme, because they knew David was a man of God. They knew he was a man after God's own heart. And yet when David committed that sin, yes, it was a sin against Uriah. It was a sin against his family. It was a sin against Bathsheba. But it gave the enemies of the Lord a chance to discredit the name of God. And that's what might happen to us. That man is a Christian. That woman is a Christian. We're held as Christians. We're seen as Christians in our workplaces, in our families, wherever it might be, with our friends. And you get into this problem. You follow the way of Samson and you slip into sin. And before you know it, the Lord has departed as far as this time is concerned. Not departed forever, but for a time. Lifts his spirit, as it were. Leaves you to yourself. And you get horribly lost into sin. And the people say, ah, you said you were a Christian and you've done this thing. Your God must be no God at all. And it discredits the name of God. That's the worst thing. That's the worst thing. And so Dagon here was lauded, and that was to Samson's shame. Well, when the people saw Samson, they praised their God, for they said, our God hath delivered into our hands our enemy and the destroyer of our country, which slew many of us. And verse 25, it came to pass when their hearts were merry, that they said, call for Samson, that he may make us sport. And they called for Samson out of the prison house, and he made them sport. And they set him between the pillars. So Samson is in a house, and he's between the pillars of the house, keeping the house up. And Samson said unto the lad that held him by the hand, suffer me that I may feel the pillars whereupon the house standeth, that I may lean upon them. He wants to hold the pillars of the house. And the house was full of men and women, and all the lords of the Philistines were there, and there were upon the roof about 3,000 men and women that beheld while Samson made sport. And Samson called to the Lord. Oh, is it wonderful? Samson has sinned. Samson has gone astray from the Lord. Samson has lied. Samson has done that which he ought not to do, and yet he can still call upon the Lord. And friends, you might find yourself in a position just as Samson has found himself in, but you can still call upon the Lord if you know him. And you trust him. Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, listen to this prayer, a humble prayer. O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee. Only this once, O God. He's realized that God is his strength. He's been reminded of that. So he asked God for strength. Strengthen me just once more, that I may be avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood, and on it which was borne up, of the one with his right hand, and of the other with his left. And Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all his might, and the house fell upon the lords, and upon all the people which were therein. So the dead which he slew in his death were more than they which he slew in his life. And so Samson, in a way, had final victory. The Lord gave him back his strength. His hair grew back, and he was in some part restored. But what a pity that Samson's life had to end with his eyes gouged out, that it had to end in such a way that he had to die, as it were, by the sword. And yet the Lord still heard him, and in a way the Lord still blessed him. But what a lesson for us, the life of Samson, somebody who was mighty in valor, and the spirit of the Lord was upon him, but let himself slip and slide. And so it's a lesson for us this evening. Do we let ourselves slip? Do we let ourselves slide? Are we concerned to maintain that life of holiness that we ought to lead? Are we relying on the Lord, depending upon the Lord? See, the worst thing is to get proud and to say, I can do this on my own. I can do this without the Lord. I can do this without prayer. I can do this without reading his word. without submitting to him. I am my own man, I am my own woman. I don't need to commune with him. And then if that's true, we will slip and we will slide. So the book of Judges, the lesson of Samson is to be humble, to pray to the Lord, to ask him to bless us, not to depend upon our own strength, but to know that any good thing that comes from us, any good thing that comes through us, is a gift of God, is him, is his work in us. Nothing, no merit of our own, nothing to be given in credit to us. Everything that we do which is good is a gift from God. And he will withdraw from us if it means that we come to our senses before he restores us again. But praise be to God that we can fall and we can sin and slide, but he will never leave us. He will never forsake us. He will restore us and bless us just as he did with David, just as he did with Samson, and just as he will with us. If we come to him, we repent of our sin, and we renew ourselves once more and establish ourselves and put our feet back upon the rock, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. So may the Lord help us to be like Samson in part one of his life and to avoid the part two, which was a bitter day for him and for the enemies of God to blaspheme the name of the Lord God, Jehovah. One may the Lord help us, each one.